This is what we call our Soldiers of Christ Bible class. It's a class for all of us together. It only lasts for about 25 minutes or so. Don't put a clock on that, but it's pretty close to that each week. And so we're glad that you're here. If you don't have a set of the cards with you tonight, if you're visiting with us tonight and haven't seen these, don't know what they are, Grayson has gladly volunteered again to get these to you. He just likes exercise. Grayson is a servant, and he loves to serve with a smile on his face. I'm sure he does that at home too. He's always serving and taking care of his family and his sisters, and with a smile, I'm confident. So, Soldiers of Christ, we're talking about the life of Jesus now. We'll be talking about this for the foreseeable future on Sunday nights. And so if I were to ask you, what's the theme of the entire Bible, to sum up the entire Bible in two words, what's the theme? Jesus Christ, from beginning to end. David, what's the theme of the whole Bible? Two words, David, what's the theme of the whole Bible? What'd you say? Jesus is it. He knows the answer. Levi, did you know that answer, or did you have to listen for David to know the answer? Did you know the answer? What's the theme of the whole Bible? Jesus is the theme of the whole Bible. The whole Bible is about Jesus. Somebody's coming. Somebody's here. And then what's that somebody going to do? He's coming again. Are you ready for that? Are you ready for Him to come again? Are you praying for that? Would you like Him to come tonight? Would that be okay with you? I hope that's okay with you, because it could happen. And if it's not okay with you, you got to get okay with that, because it could definitely happen. But someone is coming again, and we need to be looking forward to that. But I want to look at just a couple quick review questions, and then we're going to jump in to this new study and look tonight. But John chapter 1 is a critical section of Scripture for us to know. John chapter 1 teaches us that in the beginning, where was Jesus? He was with God, and He was God. Remember our young men standing on the stage a few weeks ago? Quoting, what were they quoting? John 1:1. Can we say it together? John 1:1. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word. Good job. We need to know that verse. We need to have that not just memorized in our head, but written on our hearts. What was Christ's role in creation? Where was Jesus in creation? He created everything. He created everything. He was not a created being. He created everything. We need to remember that. Now, the Word became something. In John chapter 1 verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who's the Word? God, Jesus, came down, became flesh, and dwelt among us. I like key locations. I like making sure I know where certain things are in the Bible. Where's a verse that teaches me that Jesus is eternal? John 1:1, it's on the screen. Jesus is eternal. He has always been. He always will be. He was God. He is God. He always will be God. Where is a verse that teaches me that Jesus created all things? Well, John 1:3 is one place to find it. You could find it in other places. But that's a verse to know. There was nothing made that He didn't make. When you get in discussion with somebody about Jesus, was He a created being? No, He's not a created being. He is the creator of all beings. What's the key location for Jesus becoming flesh? Well, John 1 and verse 14. John 1 is a key chapter for us to know. And so I hope that you're learning these. I hope these key locations are helpful to you. Some real quick questions about when Jesus came. There were three anointed roles that Jesus fulfilled when He came. Three anointed roles. They are the titles of the cards. The top of your cards always have one of these words on it. What's the three anointed roles that He fulfilled? Prophet, priest, and king. Levi knows that. Prophet, priest, and king. Old Testament prophets, were they anointed? Yes. Old Testament priests, were they anointed? Yes. Old Testament kings, were they anointed? Yes. Which one of those is Jesus? Yes, He's all of them. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. What does the word Christ mean? Is that just His name? What does the word Christ mean? The anointed one. These aren't just things that we're making up as we go through it. Why is he called the Christ? Why is he called the Anointed One? Because he was prophet. He was the expected prophet, priest, and king. How many Old Testament prophecies did Jesus fulfill? All of them. Good answer. He fulfilled all of them. If we were to put a number to that, what is it, Levi? All of them. Good answer. David, what's the number? 332. See? It's in stereo. We're available. So he fulfilled every single one of them. And if he hadn't fulfilled all of them, he could not be the Messiah. Real quick, easy questions here. Where was the city? What was the city where the angel appeared to Mary to tell her that she was going to have a baby? Nazareth. That's where Mary was living. She was living in Nazareth. What was the, David, what's the name of Jesus' mother and earthly father? You know? Mary and Joseph. Lucas, do you know? Do you remember Jesus' mother and his earthly father? You remember what their names were? Mary and Joseph. Levi, did you know that? I'm Mary and Joseph. Caleb, I'm not sure if you knew that or not. Oh, well, you knew it because these other three guys already said it, and so you're just copying them. All right, Caleb, where was Jesus born? What city was Jesus born in? Bethlehem. Was that Rod? Good job, Rod. He was born in Bethlehem. So they said, when they were in Nazareth, you're going to have a baby. And then they went and traveled to Bethlehem, and that's where Jesus is born. And then after he was born in Bethlehem and Herod was trying to kill him, where did Joseph take Mary and Jesus? Egypt. You think when they got there, they walked like an Egyptian, or they just keep walking like, never mind, just curious how they walked once they got, I mean, when you're in Rome, you do what's Rome, and maybe when you're in Egypt. So when they came back from Egypt, where did Jesus grow up? What was his hometown? Lucas, do you know his hometown? What was his hometown? Nazareth. So he was born in Bethlehem. So did he have like dual citizenship? He had dual citizenship down in Judah. He had like a Judah passport. And then he moved up to Nazareth and he had dual citizenship. And so he could travel back and forth freely and not have to. I don't know how that worked. But those are some real quick review questions. Now get your Bible. Go to Luke chapter 2. All right? That's not a trick. That's a real thing. Get your Bibles. Go to Luke chapter 2. And we're going to look at the last 13 verses of Luke chapter 2. We are fast forwarding in the life of Jesus from him being a child, being at least a baby, to being a toddler, to talking about Jesus when he was a preteen. Y'all remember preteen years? Aren't those fun years? Raising children. Kayla, you've got fun times ahead. You got preteen years coming. It's going to be great. When Rod hits preteen years, he's going to be awesome, aren't you, Rod? You're going to be the best preteen ever. So here's Jesus before he's a teenager in Luke chapter 2. And I want us to look at this, and I just want us to walk through these. There's only four questions that we're going to ask tonight. We're going to ask them over the next 17 minutes, so we're not going to ask them all at once. But I just want us to walk through this. I want you to transport yourself, all right? I want you to transport yourself back to this time, and I want you to be there, and I want you to imagine being Jesus when he's 12 years old, all right? I want you to imagine being Mary and Joseph trying to raise Jesus when he's 12 years old. When you look in verse 40 is kind of a summary of his first 12 years. It talks about how he grew in verse 40 and how he grew in strength and in wisdom and the grace of God was upon him. And then you get to verse 41 and the rest of this chapter and you're reading about this one event. We don't know much about the life of Jesus before he's 30. This one little event between the time when he was there and the wise men came to visit and he's 30, this is the only event. He's 12 years old. What kind of home was Jesus raised in? What kind of home was he raised in? A godly home. Would you say he was raised in a godly home? Was he raised in a godly home? A younger voice said it, all right? So do you think God knew what he was doing when he chose Joseph and Mary? Or did he just like, close his eyes and circle his fingers, say, point okay, well, we'll just go with them. You think he knew what he was doing when he selected Joseph and Mary? Look in Luke chapter 2 in verse 41 and tell me what they were doing in verse 41. What are Jesus' parents doing in verse 41? They're going to Jerusalem for the feast of the Passover. I want you to think about that for just a second. Who's going? Who's talked about in verse 41? Y'all read it and talk to me now. If you don't talk to me, this is going to go a lot longer. All right, so, you're paying attention now, right? So, verse 41, who's going to Jerusalem? His parents are. According to Jewish law, three times a year, a certain segment of the Jewish population was supposed to go to Jerusalem for certain feasts. For the Passover, that was one of the major three that they went for. Now, what was the certain segment of society that was supposed to go to Jerusalem three times a year? The men. Is it just Joseph going? No. Here's a home where it's not just dad, not just husband going to Jerusalem. We're going as a family. Does that strike you as interesting? God puts Jesus in this family, and when they go to Jerusalem, they're going as a family. Religion in this family is not just something for dad. It's for everybody. Does that have application to us today? That it's not just a part of our family that needs to be involved in the work of the church and in things of the church. It's the whole family that's involved here. And so they're traveling from Nazareth. In verse 39, they're traveling from Nazareth down to Jerusalem. That's somewhere, depending on what path they took, somewhere around 70 to 80 miles. How long would it take you to go 70 to 80 miles? You're like, well, what kind of road are we talking about? How long back then would it take you to go 70, 80 miles? 3 or 4 days. Aren't you glad you live now? Instead of about 3 or 4 days to travel 70 or 80 miles. Can you imagine? You travel 3 or 4 days. They get there. There's the Feast of the Passover. And then the Feast of Unleavened Bread was the 7 days that followed it. So they have Passover and then the Feast of Unleavened Bread for the next 7 days. And they likely stayed for all 8 days. They probably stayed longer than that, but we'll just say it was the minimum of 8. So they travel 3 or 4 days. They stay in Jerusalem for this feast, for these feast days, for 8 days. And then it's going to be 3 or 4 days back home. You add all of that together, how many days is that? 3 or 4 plus 8 plus 3 or 4. Somewhere around, do the math, 14 days maybe? They carve out 2 weeks at least, and probably more than that. They carve out 2 weeks of their life and of this part of their life. There's 3 other feasts during the year. And they say, we're devoting this time to God. It's not vacation. Nothing wrong with vacation. I'm not talking about that. But when they leave, they're going to Jerusalem. They're devoting 2 weeks to God and to observing what they needed to do as Jews when they got to Jerusalem. Is for them, their relationship with God, is that a priority? Big time priority. They are giving it their everything. Now, when they get there, what's the name of the feast that's being observed? Passover. What was Passover all about? What were they doing? What was the purpose of Passover? Remembering what? The Passover. Remembering when the Lord passed. What was the Passover in the Old Testament? When the Lord passed over who? The Jews' homes, because they had blood over the doorpost and the lintels. And when he passed over, who was spared? The firstborn. That's the feast that they're going to Jerusalem to remember. I want you to think about Jesus. Is Jesus our Passover lamb? He gets there for Passover. He comes to this place where there are literally thousands upon thousands, maybe millions of Jews in this place. They're coming to celebrate a feast when it was remembered about blood being involved and in God passing over so that their firstborn did not die. What was this firstborn getting ready to do in about 21 years? He was getting ready to die. And it was going to be His blood that covered us so that God would pass over us and not condemn us. And he walks into this city where thousands of lambs are being killed. What's he going to be in 21 years? He's going to be that lamb. When you're reading this and you think Jesus is coming, and this is not the first time he's been to Jerusalem, and likely this is not the first time he's come here with the family. They probably did this every year. But he's coming there, and I don't know if he recognized everything that was going on or not. He's going to be that lamb not too long from this day. What was the, here's on your prophet card, what was the age of Jesus when he was lost in Jerusalem? How old was he? 12 years old. 12 years old. Connor, you're 13, right? All right, so we've got one over. Do we have a 12-year-old here? Anybody 12? We got 13. Rod's 9, 8, almost 9. Caleb is 4. You're 14, Caleb? 16, 17, 18. I'm close. I'm getting close. I feel like I'm getting closer. Oh, pick a lesser number. 2. 2 lesser. Okay, so Jesus is 12 years old when they go to Jerusalem. Did Jesus understand anything about who he was at this point? Did he understand what his mission was at this point? What does verse 43 say? They finished the days, probably the 8 days of the feast, and the parents returned, and what did the boy Jesus do in Jerusalem? He tarried. He lingered. He stayed there. Now, in your mind, what would a normal 12-year-old boy be doing with the city all by himself? All to himself? Oh, boy. We're going to have some problems when we get back. Mary and Joseph are going to get back to town. They're going to have to clean some graffiti off of the temple because this 12-year-old has been having a field day just doing whatever he wanted there. You know, they're going to have to go apologize to sister so-and-so because he went in and, is that Jesus? No, that's not this 12. That might be a different 12-year-old. That's not this 12-year-old. He lingered in Jerusalem. And I want you to jump ahead. We're going to come back and look at these other verses, but I want you to jump ahead to verse 46. Where did they find Jesus when they came back? They found him in the temple. Why is he in the temple? Of all the places, why is he in the temple? To learn. Remember what he said when he cleansed the temple in John chapter 2, turned over the money changers' tables and cleansed the temple, drove out the money changers? Don't make my a den of thieves. My Father's house. Do you think he knew at this point that being in the temple, there was something special about being in the temple? And what's he doing? Verse 46, okay, he's in the temple. Is he running laps in the temple? Is he running in between the pews of the temple? Is that what he's doing? No, he's sitting. He's sitting quietly. He's listening. Who's he listening to? The teachers. He's listening to them. He's asking them questions. I want you to fast forward 21 years. What are these teachers going to be doing in 21 years? Condemning him to death. I mean, get that picture. He's sitting here listening to them teach. 20 years from this time, he's going to be talking about how hypocritical they are. But right now, he's listening to them. He's asking them questions. Now, think about it. What's his hometown? Jesus' hometown. What was it? Nazareth. All right, is there a synagogue in Nazareth? Yep, the synagogue in Nazareth. But do you think that the scholars, do you think the rabbis in Jerusalem are maybe of a higher caliber? Maybe they're greater scholars in Jerusalem than maybe there were in Nazareth? I mean, he's been probably sitting in the synagogue in Nazareth, but now he comes to Jerusalem and he gets to sit and listen to these people. I thought today, remember that Paul said that he had sat at one rabbi's feet? Remember the name of the rabbi that Paul said that he had sat at his feet? Gamaliel, one of the great Jewish rabbis. What if he's one of the rabbis there that Jesus is sitting? It's Paul and Jesus were around the same age. Give or take a few years, they're around the same age. Is it possible that Gamaliel was one of those rabbis right there talking to Jesus? And maybe the same rabbi that would even be the one talking about, he's listening, he's asking. But verse 46 indicates that he was also giving answers. That's interesting. What does that indicate? Maybe they're asking him questions. So he's listening, he's asking questions, he's answering questions, and he's doing so respectfully, isn't he? He's learning all that he can. And what was their reaction? Verse 47. Everybody who heard him, what's their reaction? Whoa! They're astonished at what? 12 years old. And his answers. He's quoting the Bible over here. So they're astonished at what he has. And who's astonished? The teachers. Now, come on, he's a 12-year-old boy. They're astonished at his understanding of what he says. You fast forward about 18, 19 years, and there's going to be people who make fun of Jesus. Who is this guy? He hasn't learned anything. He hasn't gone through school. He's not one of the trained rabbis. But at 12 years of age, they were astonished at what he understood. Where did he get his understanding? Was it a miraculous implantation of Bible knowledge? You think that's where he got his understanding? Do you think Mary and Joseph did any teaching in the home? You think they had family devotionals in the home? You think they read to Jesus from the Bible in the home, said, "Son, here's some things you need to learn." I mean, think about it. Your job is to raise the Son of God. Oh, okay. That's a little overwhelming. Your job is to raise the Son of God. Your job is to train him up in the way he... Oh, are they supposed to do that for him? Yeah. Here, God says, "Here's my son. Now train him up in the way he should go." Oh, thanks. You got a teacher manual for that? Were they supposed to teach him diligently when they walked by the way, when they lied down, and when they rose up? Were they supposed to do that too? You think Jesus was taught by his parents? You think he was taught in the synagogue? He was taught and learned all that he could, and they were astonished at his teaching. So his parents are no doubt trying to do the best that they can. But what do his parents do in verse 43? Where are his parents in verse 43? They're headed out of town. Where's Jesus in verse 43? He's still in town. They're on their... How far do they travel before they realize they don't have Jesus? A day's journey. For them, that's about 20, 25 miles, maybe 30 miles if they're in a hurry. I mean, for you, what's a day's journey? Depends on how far you're going. Anybody ever driven to Freed Hardeman in one day? That's about 1,000 miles. That's a day's journey. What if you made it 1,000 miles and realized, "Oh, I forgot my kid back at home"? Oh, this is bad news. What if you drove 1,000 miles and realized, "Oh, this is not, I forgot," and you get to drive 1,000 miles back? How would you be feeling if you had to drive that 1,000 miles back because you forgot your kid? Not happy. Was that Lucas? Yeah. Can you imagine? Now, are his parents worried about him? Are they anxious? Are they nervous? Certainly. When Mary reaches him, she says, "Don't you know we sought you anxiously?" But don't you know there's a little bit of frustration inside of them? The Bible doesn't tell us that. Maybe they were perfect in every way and they didn't get frustrated with their children. Really? So here they've got to go back a whole day. I remember family vacations where we got off track and we lost a few hours, and how unfun it was getting back on track and losing those hours that we once had. That's not fun. Here's parents that are having to get back on track. But they get there. She says, "We sought you anxiously." So in verse 47, the people were astonished. Verse 48, when his parents found him in the temple, sitting there talking to the teachers, what was their reaction? They were what in verse 48? They were astonished. They were amazed too. They see him, and why do you think they were amazed? Did they think he would be painting graffiti on the temple? No, I don't think that's what they... Why are they amazed? How long had they been away from him? 3 days. After 3 days, what verse is that? Is that verse 45, 46? 46. So it was after 3 days. So they traveled a day's journey. Oops, we don't have him. Traveled a day back. All right, let's settle in. Third day, they go looking for him. How would you be feeling if you didn't know where your kid was for 3 days? Now, do you think they knew where to look for him? I mean, do you think they went to the arcade first? I mean, is that where they went first? Where do you think they looked first? You think they went to the temple first? So they find, they go there, they are amazed at what they see. And what we have in verse 49, after she says, "Why have you done this to us?" Isn't that what you would say to your kid? And you're like, if I was nice, that's what I would have said to my kid. So why have you done this to us? Look, your father, who? Your father, Joseph, and I have sought you anxiously. That word anxiously really indicates that she was having a panic attack. I mean, this isn't some small word. She is in some severe mental anxiety, wouldn't you? All right, now, if you lost your child, all right, I mean, that'd be bad. If you lost the Son of God, you didn't just lose a child. I mean, we can get another one of those. But you lost the Son of God. Oh, boy. This isn't going to be good for me. I'm in trouble. You've lost the Son of God. Would you lose any sleep over that? Would you be a little concerned? Sought you anxiously? Yeah, sought you anxiously. Jesus' reply in verse 49. All right? Jesus says to her, now, these are the first recorded words of Jesus. Now, sometimes we focus in on somebody's last words, and we think, okay, these are the last words that they said. We make importance out of those. Now, we also make importance out of a child's first words, right? You know what your first word was? Do you know what you said? You know, was it, show me the money? I mean, was that the first thing that came out? I mean, I don't know. You know, sometimes we make a big deal out of first words. These weren't Jesus' first words, but they're the first recorded words that we have out of the mouth of Jesus. And how old is he? 12 years old. What does he say? And this is on your priest card, by the way. Response of Jesus when his mother found him. Why did you seek me? Did you not know I must be about my father's business? She said, your father and I have sought you anxiously. And what does Jesus say? Yep. I've been about my... What father is he talking about? Not the same father Mary was talking about. I'm involved in the most important work on earth. I'm involved in my father's business. Now, some of you don't have, I must be about my father's business. Some of you have that I must be in my father's house. There's a difference in the translations there. And the reason is because the Greek does not specify. The Greek literally says, I must be of the things of my father. Well, what does that mean? What things? The house? The business? What am I supposed to be of? And Jesus is just saying, I've got to be of the Father. I've got to be doing whatever my Father... What is that a lesson for us to learn whether we're 12 or whether we're not 12 anymore? Helen? Well, in verse 50, Helen's pointing out they did not understand the statement which he spoke to them. What did they not understand? Didn't understand that he says, don't you know I must be about my Father's business? What there was something about that they were still not grasping. Did she know that she had the Son of God? Yeah, that's what she was told before he was ever conceived. You know that you're going to be a child of the Holy Spirit. This child is going to be of God. She knew that. And yet, of course, was there anything different about him? I mean, did she have to shine his halo every morning when he woke up just to keep it nice and shiny and clean? Did she have to do that? What was there about him at 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 years old that said, oh, look, I'm raising the Son of God? Do you think he went through his terrible twos? Why wouldn't he go through his terrible twos? Do you think he went through other stages that your boys go through? I mean, Kayla, do you think Jesus went through the stages? You know that he did. Do you think there were moments when they thought, really? This is the Son of God? Come on! He was a kid, wasn't he? He grew up as a kid. And yet, he was learning who he was. And on this occasion, he knew exactly who he was. And so now, out of the mouth of a babe, comes these words. Don't you know I must be about my Father's business? And, of course, they haven't had sleep in 3 days, Helen. What are they grasping to begin with? They haven't had sleep in 3 days. They're searching anxiously for him. They finally found him. And what is he doing? He's surrounded by old guys. I mean, would you be a little concerned about your 12-year-old and there's a bunch of old guys sitting there and talking to him about the Bible? Still processing. Mary's, you drop down and she hid these things in her heart. She was still processing, still thinking about these things. But when Jesus says, I must be about my Father's business, there was no option involved here. Really quick, verse 52. Jesus grew in four different areas. What were they? Wisdom, stature, favor with God, favor with man. This is a great memory verse for you to work on with your kids. It's on the prophet card. Jesus increased in wisdom. He got smarter. He increased in stature. He grew up. He increased in favor with God. He grew spiritually. He grew in his knowledge of God's will. He grew socially. He grew in favor with man. He grew in every way that somebody can possibly grow. Isn't that a great model for us to grow in and to raise our children in, to grow in those ways? Now, what did he do for a living before he started his ministry? He was a carpenter. Think about that. Jesus is raised in a home where he's given a job. What was his dad? Carpenter. Raised in a home, learning to work hard, waiting for the time to be ready for him to start what the Lord had sent him to start. I want you to think about this 12-year-old boy and the lessons we can learn from this 12-year-old boy, the lessons we can learn from these parents, the fact that we need to be continuing to encourage each other to grow in these areas. Verse 52 summarizes the next 18 years. All we know about the next 18 years of Jesus' life is in verse 52. All right. Thank you all for being here tonight. We'll see you Wednesday night.